So we're going to try to weave together a few sugyas here in the third parak of Ksuvos today. One is on Lamed Beis, and that's kind of in the middle of the parak, and that goes on to Lamed Gimel, and then we'll take a look at Sugya Daf Mem at the end of the parak. We'll see what we can accomplish in the time that we have. So first on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, we have a sugya of Ula and Rav Yochanan. And this is one of the most fundamental sugyas in Kimlei B'Derabine, which is the subject of the third parak of Ksuvos. And that is the question of Mammon and Malkus. What happens in a case where a person is chayav Malkus for violating a law of the Torah? He was given a hasra, and there were Eidim. And at the same time, he incurred a chiyuv mamon. For example, the case of Chovil b'chavero. And this becomes the paradigmic case for Ula. Ula says when you have an overlap between mamon and malchus, then we give out, we make you pay the mamon, and we spare you from malchus. And this you'll see on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, about line 5. Do you see the word Alma? Yeah. Or maybe it's line 6. Kasavar Ula. You want to underline those words. Kasavar Ula kol hecha de'ika mamonu malkis mamonu mishalem milka lo laki. Minole l'ula ha gomar michovel b'chavero. In the case of Chovel b'chavero, he violates the law of Pen Yosef, and he should get Malkus for that. But at the same time, he incurs a chiyuv of 5 tashlumei chavola. And the Torah says that he should pay the money. And since we have a rule, which we're going to derive from the pasuk Kidei Risha, so Mishum Risha Achas Atom Achayvo, that we cannot impose both punishments, so the Torah spells out Mammon, that means that Mammon replaces Malkus. So he's not going to get Malkus. That's called Mamona Mishale Milka Lo Laki. And that's going to be the Shita of Ula. And he bases himself on Chovel b'Chavero.
And that's coming from Kidei Rishato.
Right. So it's a combination of two things. First of all, Kidei Rishato, which tells me that he can't get both. And both Rabbi Yochanan and Ula agree that he can't get both. The machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan is going to be, well, which one of the two punishments do we meet out? And Ula is going to insist that we make him pay mamon, and that's going to be derived from Chovel b'Chavero, and we exempt him from malchus. That's Ula's shita. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say just the opposite, that when there's an overlap, we're going to give him malchus, and we exempt him from paying the mamon. Now, the good news for Rabbi Yochanan is that intuitively the logic is on his side. Because the Torah insists that whenever you have two punishments, we give him the more severe punishment rather than the less severe punishment. And Tosfos here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph establishes that based on a sugya, this is the next to last Tosfos, just a one and a half liner, from a sugya in Sanhedrin, where a person was chayv two mises bezdin, and we give him the more chomer of the two. In fact, Tosfos doesn't understand how it's possible that according to Ula, we should possibly mete out the punishment of Mammon and replace Mammon for Malkus. I mean, Malkus is clearly a more chomer punishment than Mammon. And to defend Ula, we introduce a whole new principle that Mammon is more chomer than Malkus. Now, how can it be that's counterintuitive, that Mammon is the more chomer of the two punishments, more chomer than Malkus? In fact, the Gemara says that Ula has no proof from the case of Chovel b'Chavero, because the Torah wanted in a very unusual way to be machmir in the case of Chovel, and therefore the Torah said, let him pay Mammon. So you see that Mammon is more chomer than Malkus. And this is a problem. Now it could be that Mammon is more more chomer than malchus based on what I call a more philosophical principle of kapara. What it means is the following: that a person violates an avera and he's guilty of a crime, based on the severity of the crime, the Torah is going to decide whether we give him an option, an alternative, an opportunity for kapara. So, for example, the Maharsha is very famous for saying, "Ein onshin min adin," and we cannot give malchus to a person who has a relationship with his full sister, even though the Torah says that he gets malchus for having a relationship with his fast half sister. And this is based on the principle of Ein onshin min adin. Says the Maharsha, we can't give him the option of kapara for his sin because he violated a more severe sin. And in that sense, giving mammon, in other words, meeting out the punishment of mammon, is more severe than giving him malchus, because malchus will guarantee him kapara. So that if we would meet out the punishment of malchus, we're giving him an opportunity, he could afford himself the opportunity of getting kapara. Whereas in the case of mammon, he will not get kapara. He'll have to find some other method of getting kapara. But be that as it may, whatever the svara is, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that according to Ula, mammon is more chomer than malchus. Whether or not Ula can base his conclusion that mammon mishalmi milka and milka lo loki on the case of chomer b'chavero, that remains to be seen. The Gemara says that no, you can't derive anything from chomer b'chavero, because the Torah was more machmer in the case of chomer b'chavero. Hence, the Torah says he pays mammon and he doesn't get malchus. If there's anything more counterintuitive than that, let me know. I can't think of anything.
So the best homer would be not to give him any punishment, right?
Well,
so
no.
He exactly doesn't get a kapara.
No, for sure he doesn't get a kapara with mammon. So whether you impose a chiv mammon or not, that's not going to in any way have any impact or repercussion on his kapara. So forget about any relationship between paying mammon and getting a kapara. There's no kapara through mammon.
Why?
Because the Torah says that we're not going to accept any ransom of mammon. Money is very nice, and it's a good thing, right? But it's never a kapara. You can never get a kapara through mammon. So based on that premise, if you have a choice between two punishments and you want to meet out the again, it's going to be one of the two. We're not going to let him away with nothing. Kedei Rishasso means he's got to pay for something. But if you're going to make a choice, which is the more horrific of punishment, then paradoxically, according to Ula, we're going to give him the mammon and not the malchus. Why? Where is that more chomer? So we mentioned in the name of the Marsha, out of desperation, we have nothing better to offer for Ula at this point than to say that mammon will deny him of kapara. Again, how he'll get kapara, I don't know. You might have to wait till he does tshuva, Yom Kippurim, maybe he needs Yisurim, maybe he needs Misa, I don't know what he needs. But the kapara, through malchus, he will not get. Anyone who gets malchus has kapara. That's conditional on tshuva, but he recites his vidui, he gets the 39 lashes, and he gets kapara. So he's okay. He's v'nikla l'achicha b'necha, kevin sh'nikla reu k'achicha. We reinstate him, he's not posel for edus anymore, or anything like that. He's a kosher yid because he got the malchus.
Are we talking about somebody who wounded somebody else?
Right, he wounded somebody else. A chomer b'chaveiro.
So chomer b'chaveiro is b'chaveiro. Doesn't he have to have mechila from the other person?
Yeah, that's true too. That's true too.
Get kapara.
Yeah. We're not looking all hilchas kapara, but
in this way, it's more of a kula that he gets it to the mummies, because they can be more secure with the mechila.
Right, but again, getting the mechila from his friend is only going to allow the malchus to be mechaken. Do you understand? It's a precondition in malchus. And for sure, he's going to have to, he has to be mephaisis chavero. But the payment of mammon, it is still, again, insofar as it replaces malchus, is going to ultimately deny him the possibility of kapara. Why? Because he violated the Torah law. And when you violate the Torah law, the only way you can get kapara is through malchus. And we're now going to rob him of that opportunity. That's the paradox of Ula. Again, I'm not saying there are no other ways of interpreting Ula. Maybe Belineder, either today or tomorrow, we'll get to. Tomorrow I'm hoping to start Kala Basar, so that's a whole different thing. But one understanding of Ula is that understanding. The Gemara therefore has to offer another possibility as to what the source and the proof for Ula is. And the Gemara says, Edim Zomimim. The Torah in the case of Edim Zomimim says the following. He testified against Reuven that Reuven owes Shimon 200 zuz. He violated the lav of Losana Briachet Shoker. And he became an Edim Zomim. Now he has two possibilities. Either he gets Malkus for Losana, or he pays Reuven under the law of Kasher Zoma, and he gets a punishment of Mama. So the Torah says, Vasisim lo Kasher Zoma lasos li'ofi. Then in the case of Edim Zomim, he has to pay the Nidon for whatever the Nidon would have stood to lose as a result of the Edim. Says Ula, in this case, he would not get Malkus for Losana Beyachet Shoker. Again, based on the Kedei Rishoso, that it's an either or, and we can't give you both punishments. So the Gemara wants to suggest that when the Torah says Kasher Zomam, and in the case of Edim Zomim, he has to pay, that's based on the Chumrah of Edim Zomim, that once again, Edim Zomim is a Chumrah. How do I demonstrate that Edim Zomim is a Chumrah? The answer is that every punishment requires Asra, with the exception of Edim Zomim. There may be a few other exceptions, like maces, but generally speaking, as far as our knowledge goes, there's only one exception to the rule. We'll dramatize it. And we'll say that Edim Zomim is singled out. The Torah says that you're going to be punished even without Asra. Why is there no Asra in Edim Zomim? We don't know. I mean, that's going to be a three-way machlokas in the Gemara. But the bottom line is, everybody agrees that the Edim do not get Asra. And yet the Torah says we punish the Eden. That's a Chumra in Edim Zomim. And therefore the choice between Mammon and Malkus insists Ula, we're going to give him Mammon instead of Malkus. And the source for that, the Binyan Av, is going to be Edim Zomim. That's your paradigmic case in which the Torah says he deserves two punishments, he's only going to get one. And which one are we going to mete out to him? Mammon and not Malkus. The Gemara says no, you have no proof from Edim Zomim. Why? Because it could very well be that in Edim Zomimim, the Torah wanted to be Mekel and allow him to get away with Mammon. And now at this point, the Gemara insists that Mammon is more Kula. And the reason why we can prove that Edim Zomim is a Kula, and therefore we should let him off easy, and instead of getting 39 lashes, he'll pay the Mammon, is because Lo Asa Maisa. We have a principle in Edim Zomim, Kasher Asa, Kasher Zomim, Velo Kasher Asa. That if indeed the Nidon lost what he had to lose based on the agents of the Edim Zomim, then there would be no punishment of Edim Zomim. So the entire episode of Edim Zomim is all based on a plan that never realized itself. There was never a Maisa Vera in that sense. So basically, the Gemara now is up to, at the point in which we don't know. It could be that the Torah wanted to be more machmir in Edim Zomimim, and therefore the Torah imposed the Chiv Malkus. I'm sorry, the Torah imposed the Chiv Mammon, right? And Mammon denies him of Kapara. And where do we see that the Torah was more machmir in Edim Zomimim for the fact that Edim Zomimim don't require what? Asra. Or it could be the flip side, that Mammon is more Mekil, and the Torah let him get away with paying the Nidon 200 Zuz, and alleviated his Malkus. And why is the Torah more Mekil in Edim Zom? The Loka Avid Maisa, because Edim Zom is without a Maisa.
Is that going to be Lashem Bo Maisa, or because of Kasher Zomim Velo Kasher?
Yeah, Kasher Zomim Velo Kasher Asa. I don't know about a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, because it could be
speaking.
Right, it could be that the principle of Lav Shein Bo Maisa doesn't apply to Losana, because the Dibura Ka'asid Maisa, Ka'avid Maisa. Are you familiar with that? That's again, we're not learning Masechta Makis, but you know, there are many, many principles in Lav Shein Bo Maisa. For example, Tmura is Chaya because of the Dibura Ka'avid Maisa. He changes the nature of the animal, makes it into Hegdish, whatever it might be. So without going into all of Masech the Makis, standing on one foot, let's just suffice Yosef by saying the following, that one of the principles in evaluating Chumras Avera is, was this Avera a plan, a scheme in his mind, or did it actually materialize in the real world? Did the victim, in this case, suffer as a result of the violation? And the answer is that the victim, Lamaisa, didn't suffer. Again, you might say he suffered some element of anguish throughout the case or whatever it is, but there's no ultimate chiyuv moment here because it's kasher zama velo kasher osa. Okay, that's more or less the sugya that we wanted to see here on Daf Lamed Beis. And now let's turn to Daf Lamed Gimel for a moment. Okay then? Now, what happens on Daf Lamed Gimel is that the Gemara introduces a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav. So let's fast forward to Daf Lamed Vav for just a moment. In the case of Ba'al Bita, and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav tells us that Elu Lamed Vav and Beis, I meant to say, Elu She'elam Knas, and towards the end of that Mishnah he has Ba'al Bita. So there's no knas of onus and mefata in the case of Baal Bito, and the Mishnah doesn't even leave you in the lurch to try to figure out why. And the Mishnah spells it out. The Mishnah says, "Mipnei shemischayev bin nafsha, and misasa bidei bezdin." Baal Bito is one of the most severe of the isur arayos, and it generates a chiyuv misa. And now, how do we know, asks the Mishnah, that if a person is mischayev b'nafsho, he's parted from tashlumei mamon? Shenemar im lo ye ason anosh yeanesh. What the Torah is saying is that if two people have a fight, and Reuven deals a blow to what he thinks is Shimon, but instead, like Shimon ducks, and he hits Leah, who's a pregnant woman, and she loses the vlados. So the Torah says that he'll have to pay for the dmei vlados to her husband, im lo yeh ason, which means if she survives the blow. If on the other hand she dies, lo yeh anesh. Why? Because if she dies, then he's mischayev benafsha. And this depends upon a machlokas tanoim, which is called Hamaskaiman Leor Gezem Hargas Acher. He intended to kill Shimon and instead he killed Leah. And this Mishnah reflects the Sheet of the Chachamim of Rabbi Danasi, that we apply the principle of Chiv Misa even in a case where he killed the wrong person. That wasn't the person that he intended to kill. He's a full fledged murderer and he will be put to death for Shvichas Domim, even though he's miskavin l'argas zev argas acher. If that be the case, the Torah says he's chayav misa if she dies, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the dmei vlados. So if I ask you, what is the source for the halach of kimle v'drabaminei, what's going to be your answer? Two sources, correct. We have kidei rishoso and imlo yason anoshi anesh. And the Sugya Sagamara now is going to ask, why do we need these two sources? So the Gemara is going to talk about two different cases. One is a case of what we call Malkus. What is the case of Malkus and Mamon? And the other case is Misa and Mamon. And the Gemara says that we need Imlo Yason to teach us the law of Misa and Mamon, that we will not punish him with the Chiyuv Mamon, and we don't demand that he pay the Dmei Velados. And why not? Because he's Chayav Misa. That's Im Yeh Ason. On the other hand, we need Kedei Rishoso for the case of Malkus and Mamon. And those were the discussions that we had earlier about Ula and Rav Yochanan, about cases like Havola and a Zomimim, where he has a double chiyuv of Misa, of Malkus and Mamon. And again, the Torah says one punishment and not two, and the question between Ula and Rav Yochanan is going to be which of the two punishments do we meet at. So far so good. Now here we have a chiddush of Reb Chaim, which is not in the Sefer, It's quoted in Mipi Ashmua, and Reb Chaim wants to say that Misa and Mamon, which is derived from Lo Yasod, is fundamentally different than Malkus and Mamon, which is derived from Kedei Rishoso. In other words, it's not just a coincidence that we derive these two principles of Kimle from two different sources, but that they are fundamentally different one from the other. And we're going to see the Nafkamina in just a minute. Reb Chaim claims that in the case of Misa and Mamon, the Torah is saying something about the punishment of Misa. The punishment of Misa is, again, this is my language, not Reb Chaim's, obviously, but is endowed with such a power, so to speak, and such a severe punishment, the nature of which, that it reveals something about the Avera, that this Avera is in a category unto its own. It's an Avera Mechayeves Misa. Right? We call it in English a capital crime. So if a person is guilty of this Avera, whether it be Shvichas Domim, it could be Gili Arayis, the Baal Bito, it could be a case of Chil Shabbos. So the Torah says you don't pay Mamon. Why? Because there's something about Misa that knocks off the Chiyuv Mamon. Let's accept it right now, axiomatic. It needs more Hesber on a philosophical level, but just on a halakhic level, what it means is, according to Reb Chaim's Lashon, the way he's been quoted is, Misa Poteres Mimamon. Not so in the case of Malkus. There's nothing severe about Malkus as a punishment that is a poter of Mamon. The reason he doesn't pay Mamon, according to, let's say, Rabbi Yochanan, is because of Kedei Rishasa, which means that in this case there was one violation, and the one violation generates two chiyuvim, and we can only punish him for one and not the other. That's a principle that addresses the Bezdin, has nothing to do with the relation between the two onshim, and it ties the hands of Bezdin in such a way that they cannot mete out two punishments. Now, the nafkamina is going to be the following. What happens if the Torah would spell out that you're chayev mamon? Which means that even though you're chayev another punishment, the Torah says specifically you have to pay the mamon. Like, for example, in the case of Chovil b'chavero, where the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, in the case of Edim Zobimim, where the Torah says Vasisim Lokasha Zomam, and perhaps a whole list of other cases where the Torah spells out that you have to pay Mamon. Here Reb Chaim says there's a difference between the Malkus and the Misa, meaning the Malkus that's derived from Kedei Rishoso, as opposed to the Misa that's derived from what? From Im Lo Yason. He says the following. Within the context of Im Lo Yason, Misa Poteres Mimamon. If the Torah says that you have to pay the Mamon, that doesn't mean that you're exempt from Misa. There was never halacha that Mamon Poter Mimisa. The halacha is a one-way street. Misa Poteres Mimamon. That's something inherent in the nature of Misa, of the Chiyuv of Misa. It has nothing to do with Mamon. It just knocks off Mamon. But the other way around, that the Torah was Megala, that in this case you pay Mamon, that doesn't mean, therefore, that you won't get Misa. Masha Einkein, in the case of Malkus and Mamon, if the Torah would reveal in any specific case where he violates a Chiyuv of Malkus and a Chiyuv of Mamon, that he pays Mamon, and that he pays Mamon, that's not a loch of poter, that Malkus practice from Mamon, or Mamon practice from Malkus. No. That's a loch of Kedei Rishasa, which tells me that Bezdin is only authorized to mete out one punishment and not two. In this case, if the Torah says specifically that the punishment has to be Mamon, then there will be no Malkus. So again, Mamon, if the Torah spells it out, would never poter Misa, but yet Mamon would poter Malkus, not the Torah's poter. Please, don't misunderstand me. He's chayev the Malkus. But the Torah says that Bezdin cannot supervise or implement the Malkus because of Kedei Rishasa. And what's going to happen is that even that even if under normal conditions, let's say if we go with Rav Yochanan's shita, the Torah would prefer Malkus over Mammon, if the Torah makes an exception through by saying that you get Mammon here, you pay the Mammon, that means ipso facto that there is no Malkus. Why? Because the Torah says Kedei Rishasa. So that even though we would never classify Mammon as a poter, but in terms of Onshin, Beis Din's hands are tied, they can't implement two punishments. So therefore, if Lu Yitzu there would be a Chiv Mammon, then there would be no Malkus. But in the case of Misa, where the halacha was that Misa is a poteres, there was never halacha formulated that Mammon is a poter. So you would still get Misa in that case.
So the way you're interpreting Kedei Rishasa, it's not really Kamlei Medarabam Nei. It's just that one. So for instance, if there were two Malkuses, you'd only get one.
Correct. Correct. It probably would be, unless there's some rule which the Gemara elsewhere presents as a possibility. I don't know the Maskara, if the Gemara accepts it, that Kula Chada Onishu, that sometimes the two Onishu are so similar that we can combine them. The Gemara even has a Havamina that although Misa Poteres Mi Mamon on the Kimlei Ramine Lo Yason, it would not pat you from Malkus because Malkus is the beginning of Misa. So I'm just saying that, you know, we have to take that under advisement. Now what I want to talk to you about today, at least the first part of our discussion, is Baba Machteres. The Mishnah establishes that this rule of Shekein is Chayav B'Nafsho, and if he's Potter from Mammon, applies in the case of Baba Machteres. And that's based on the Pasuk Ein Lo Domin, which means that the Balabayis is allowed, he has the option of deciding what he wants to do. Somebody broke into his house, he can either turn over his bed and make believe he doesn't hear anything, you know, put the earplugs in, or he can come down and confront the burglar, and if he confronts the burglar, he's allowed to put the burglar to death. That's called Baba Machteres. And the Torah says, ain't no dummy, you know, this burglar doesn't have any vital life to him, he's a dead man. So one of the issues that we want to discuss is what happens if the Baba Machteres breaks Kalin and he should be chayav as a mazik, and the Mishnah establishes in Masechta Sanhedrin or Daf Ayin Beis that in such a case he's not chayav to pay for the Kalin. Why? Because he's chayav Misa. Now keep in mind that this chayav Misa of a Baba Machteres is very unique. It's not a classic chiyuv misa bezdin. It's not what we call a misa mesura le bezdin. You know, if we talk about kedei rishaso as an onish that's masuli de bezdin, and we speak about, you know, bezdin's hands being tied that they can't implement two punishments, that would have no application in the case of baba machteres. But what could apply is what we call a theoretical chiyuv misa. What do I mean by a theoretical chiyuv misa? It means that to some extent he could be put to death. Again, not by Beis Din, but in this case by the Balabayis.
It's more a license than a chiyuv.
Correct, it's a license, it's not a chiyuv.
Exactly.
The word chiyuv misa here, it takes on a whole different meaning. And now the question becomes, at what point did he break the kalim? Or alternatively, let's say he stole kalim. Now if a person steals something, a ganav has to return the object. He has other chiyuvim as well. He may have to pay kefel and so forth. But what happens to all the chiyuvei gneva, which are monetary gneva, or for that matter, all chiyuvei mazik, the moment he steps out of the machteres? As long as he's in the machteres, then he's considered, quote-unquote, mischayev b'nafsho, he's caught for the kalim. What happens when he leaves the machteres? So what I'd like to study with you today is a chiddush from Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, you know, is Rosh Shiva in Panovich. I don't have access right now to his sparim. So we'll take a look in the Mishkanos HaRoim. Now, we photocopied this, so we should have copies of this. Maybe you'll let me know if you have copies. It's on page Tuf Lamed Vav. Do we have that? I have a few pages here. Maybe they're in the archives. But if not, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. You can hear it Baal Peh. Okay. Now, what Rav Shmuel wants to do here is he wants to compare a tosefta with a sugya. Oh, excellent. Tough lamed vav. Here you have it. So we're starting here. Os tough reish nun tes. So actually, we need tough lamed zayin. That's even more important. All right. We'll see what we have, what we don't have. And he wants to reconcile this tosefta with a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now, just by way of background, so we get things into a framework, the Torah says regarding above a machteres, im zarcha alav hashemesh, damim lo shalim yisham, which means that if it's ein lo damim, because he's above a machteres and he could be put to death, then lo yishalim. But if it's damim yeshlo, which means he's not in the status of above machteres, then the Torah says shalim yisham. So what do we derive from this pasuk? The Tosefta has one derivation, and the Gemara itself has a totally different derivation. That's what Rav Shmuel claims. The Tosefta derives from this that if you have a case of a person who is chayav misa as a rotzeach, and then subsequently he's chayav tashlumin, then in this case, since there was no simultaneity between the chiyuv misa and the chiyuv mamon, he pays the mamon, despite the fact that he's chayav misa. So the Tosefta has the following cases. If it was simultaneous, for example, hargova, harag es behemto, you'll see it there on the bottom, at least that's what you have. Ke'echad means bevasachas. He was able to kill a person and kill his behemoth, like he shot an arrow through both of them. Or, for example, kata es yado. This is already tashlumei chavola. Ve'hargo ki'echad. Or hargo besimas eno ki'echad. I mean, those are easy cases because it means that he killed him, but, you know, it was a process by which first he injured him and then the injury caused his death. Since it was all through one Maisa Hariga, Potter, he doesn't pay for damages. Shenemar Veloya Ason Anoshia Nesh. Ha'im Yesh Ason Eno Nemesh. Language of the Brisa. Ah, well, now he has, the Brisa goes on to give you two cases where you don't apply the principle of Im Loya Ason. In other words, where you don't apply the Ptur of Kimlev Neramene. The first case is Harigas Behem to Biachikach Hargo, which means that he incurred the Chiyuv Mama before the Chiyuv Misa, and the same in Kitas Yado Biachikach Hargo, Simas Eno Biachikach Hargo. And then he has the case of Misa Biachikach Tashlumin, is Chayim. So he's Chayim in both of these cases, either with the Chiyuv Tashlumin preempted the Chiyuv Misa, or in the flip case where the Chiyuv Misa came first and the Chiv Mamon came later. That's called Misa V'Yakha Tashlumin, is Hareza Chai. Zeh Klal, the final overriding principle. Kol Shechal Olav Misa V'Tashlumin Ki Echad Potur. Misa V'Yakha Tashlumin or Tashlumin V'Yakha Misa Hareza Chai. But I left out one phrase in the Tosefta. And Tosefta says, Shenemar, what's the pasuk for this? Damim lo, shalem yishalem. In other words, in the case where either the mamon came before the misa or the mamon came after the misa, we apply the rule of damim lo, meaning he's not chayav misa, shalem yishalem. What do you mean he's not chayav misa? He is chayav misa. Right? We're talking about a case of ritzicha. And yet we're saying, Shalem Yishalem, he has to pay for it. So the Tosefta answer is, why does he have to pay for it if he's Chayav Misa? The answer is because the Chiyuv Tashlum was not in sync with the Chiyuv Mama. Either the Chiyuv Mama, either it came first or it came second, but it wasn't Ke'echad. Now that pasuk, the Gemara says, reflects on above machteres, and we derive from this pasuk, as we'll soon see in the next paragraph, which I'm not sure if you have. Do you have Taflam and Zion?
Yes.
You do have.
I didn't find any more of them.
You have one copy.
Yes.
So you might, if you don't mind, you'll putting it right down here, just for a moment, and then take a look at this Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is the second paragraph. John, you have a copy of Taflam and Zion?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you mind putting it in the middle there? Just to see. It should be the second paragraph on the page, or the first full paragraph. Vehine b'Sanhedrin. So let's take a look at how the Gemara in Sanhedrin understood this pasuk, Damim lo shalom yishalom. And the Gemara says the following. The first part of the pasuk says, Im zarcha alav hashemesh. That phrase is singularly related to Baba Machteres. And what does zarcha alav hashemesh mean? So we have two levels. We have simple pshat, what we call taish, and then we have Torah Shbalpeh. Simple pshat is that the Baba Machteres is afraid of daybreak. When the light of daybreak breaks out, then at that point he runs away. He becomes a fugitive. He's not interested in confronting the Balabais. It's too obvious. It's too open. Maybe there are neighbors that'll see him and they'll start shooting him. I don't know. Maybe there's a camera that's taking his picture. You know, whatever it is today, the security cameras. So what is the Gemara? What is the Gemara derived from Zarchal of Hashemesh? So the Gemara says, "In baral lecha kishemesh, shegadav zelo bala hargecha." That's the whole parasha of Bava Machteres is based on the premise that he will encounter you, or let's say the other way around: if you encounter the Bava Machteres, he's armed, and therefore he will kill you if necessary. The exception to the rule is baral lecha kishemesh, shegadav zelo bala hargecha. He's a thief, but he's not a murderer. So therefore, yesh lo domin, which means you're not allowed to kill him. And if you kill him, you're chayav misa in such a case.
And he's chayav on moment.
And shalom yishalom, he's going to pay. Now this Gemara in Sanhedrin takes im zarchal av Hashemesh even further. There could be a case, the Gemara says, where it's bar l'cha Hashemesh and gadam zel lobo l'orcha, even while it's pitch black, and he's dug into your house, and that's going to be the case of Aval HaBen. Okay, fine, Aval HaBen. But one thing is clear: the Tosefta and the Braisa are completely mutually exclusive, meaning they are each understanding this principle of Shalem Yishalem in different ways. Shalem Yishalem, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Beis, means that he's no longer a Bava Machteres, means he's not a Bala Hargacha. If he's not a Bala Hargacha, he's not included in a fee of Misa, and therefore he'll pay for damages. Or if he steals something, he'll have to return it. Whereas the Tosefta interprets that very same pasuk as referring to Kimlei B'Rabbimine, where it's out of sync, meaning there was no Bevasachas in the Chiyuv Mamon and the Chiyuv Misa. Either the Chiyuv Misa took place before the Chiyuv Mamon or the reverse. And that's going to be considered Shalem Yishalem. So Reb Shmuel says that Tzorech Lomer Dat Tosefta Pligi Al Hach Braisa, that this Tosefta that we started with, which is a Masechta Bava Kama, is against the Braisa as quoted by the Sugya in Sanhedrin. The Tosefta, he says, is based on a certain interpretation which is reflected in the Ramban. Again, we're not saying the Tosefta is based on the Ramban, but it means the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah quotes Targum Onkelos. And he says the following: that im shah haganov b'machteres ad shezarcha olav hashemesh, oz ein darko larog el livroch. So the gadav was there, and he took his time, and now the sun breaks through, and in such a case, he is not a threat to the life of the balabais. Ba balabais lahargo. Now the balabais comes to kill him. Obviously, we're not going to allow that to happen. That's going to be called damim lo. But more than that, there's going to be shalom yishalom. What's this new din of shalom yishalom? The balabais says, yeshli edim shehaya b'machteres, as long as he was in the machteres, kodim shezorach hashemesh, he broke kelim. So in such a case, he was above machteres and he's potter. But let's say it was zorach olam hashemesh. Now, number one, asur lahargo, you're not allowed to kill him. And number two, yesh lo damin, he has a din like any other adam. Vitzarech l'shalem, and now we have a machlokas, two deus in the Gemara. So that the Targum Unkelus gives us a general picture, but he doesn't get into the specifics. The general picture is that as long as he's above a machteres, any chiyuv mamon that he incurs is not collectible. Why? Because it's yesh lo damin. But if he leaves the machteres, or alternatively it becomes crystal clear that he's not in any way endangering the life of the balabais, then yesh lo damin and shalem yishalem. He's going to have to pay. So what happens, for example, when he leaves the machteres and he's holding on to the object that he stole? You know, he stole a Rembrandt painting. So in such a case, l'chora he should be chay. So Rava makes the following statement. Shiber bi odo b'machteres, if he breaks kelim while he's in the machteres, potur. So when he comes out of the machteres alive and well, nobody put him to death, he will be potur. You cannot sue him for damages. Why? Because the maisa machayev of hezek was implemented when he was in the machteres, and he cannot incur any chiyuve mamon that were simultaneous with his status as above machteres. However, im shiber li achar sheyotza misham chayav, what happens if he takes out the kli and he breaks it outside of the machteres? This is already zarcha lav hashemesh.
When he took it or when he broke it?
At the point that he broke it, he was already Zarcha Lav Hashemesh. He's no longer in the status, in the state of what? Of above Machteres. So at that point, he incurs the Chiyuv damages. Do you have any doubt about this? I mean, I don't even hear the Chiddush of Rav. Isn't that intuitively correct? He took the Keli out, he destroyed it, he certainly has to pay, because in this case, he's no longer Ein Lo Damim. I mean, he's no longer in a situation of Ein Lo Damim. So the Maisa Machayev was Mazik, and that took place when it was Yesh Lo Damim. If it's Yesh Lo Damim, Shalom Yishalom.
But when he took it, he was Bamachteret. Therefore, it's his.
Oh,
and if he breaks,
so that's Rav's sheet.
He broke his own sheet, his own.
Avol Rav Sfir Le Dafilu Isnu Be'en. Even if he takes out the object intact and he breaks it outside the Machteres, Eino Machzer, he doesn't have to pay for it. Or even if it's still intact and he didn't break it, he doesn't have to return it. Why the Bedamim Kaninu? Now, if you hold Bedamim Kaninu, now we have a new pshat in the pasuk of Im Zarchal of Hashemesh, Damim Lo, Shalem Yishalem, which means the following, that Shalem Yishalem is not referring to a case of a ganov that left the machteres with kelim in his hands. That could not be Shalem Yishalem. So what does it mean? Damim lo, let's go going to Rav. And the scenario is that he took something out of the nignav, out of the owner of the house, right? He was interested in stealing, and that's what he did. And you would have said shalom yishalom means, and that's what Rambam would say, that he has to pay because now he's holding on to his friend's object and he destroyed it, or maybe it's still intact. He has to return it as a gadov. He's no longer baba machteres. So dovim lo would mean two things now. That at this moment when he checks out of the house, he's no longer b'machteres. Number one, dovim lo, if you kill him, you chayv miso. And number two, shalom yishalom, if he, the ganav, has any machayev of tashlumin, for example, he breaks the object and he's a mazik, or he retains ownership on the object, he holds it, then he's a ganav, and he has to pay or return the object. V'eshim zagzeil shel gozal is dovim, is shalom yishalom. So damim lo, shalom yishalom.
The damim is a two-pronged word. It means blood and it also means money.
I don't know that it also means money. I would like to separate the pasuk into a resha and a sefer. Damim lo means that he's a live, viable being. You know, you can't take his life. He's no longer a threat. It's zar chalav hashemesh. And now, says Rava, what's shalom yishalom? If at this point when he's no longer pakam yinei shem, he destroys the kelim, he has to pay for that. But that interpretation of the pasuk is impossible according to Rav. Because Rav insists that even in Zor Chalav HaShemesh, even when he leaves the machteres and it's damim lo, we can no longer put him to death, nevertheless he remains patur on the object that he stole while he was in Baba Machteres, because at that moment in time he was Baba Machteres, he was in the situation of Ein Lo Damim, and therefore he cannot generate any chiyuvim on the gneva that took place at that moment in time, even though now he's outside the Machteres. So what does it mean when it says Shalom Yishalom? And the answer is that we go back to the Tosefta that we started with in Masechta Bava Kamma. And there's a brand new interpretation here of damim lo shalom yishalom. And now we're talking about baba machteres, not from the perspective of a kinyan that he made while he was with machteres, but from the perspective of kimlei b'derabimineh. And we're saying that kimlei b'derabimineh applies as long as he's in the machteres. Comes along Rav, and he says that damim lo shalem yishalem means that if he incurs a chiyuv mamon after he leaves the machteres, so he's no longer in the state of baba machteres, and he has to pay for that. So now we have two interpretations of the pasuk. Rava will say that when he leaves the machteres, he's going to have to pay. And Rav is learning from this pasuk that the only time he has to pay is when there's a bazecher zeh, but if there was a mavasachas with the total sink of the chiyuv mam, of the chiyuv misa and the chiyuv mamon, again it's not a classic chiyuv misa, but the chiyuv misa of baba machteres, then lo yishalem. But if he's no longer a baba machteres, he loses his status as being chayav misa. Now if he incurs some sort of a payment, let's say for example simas eino we have in this bright in this tosefta, or kitas yado, then he has to pay for it.
What is Rav Shita doing?
Rav Shita is that if he steals something and he leaves the machteres, he's going to have to pay for that. And if he destroys it, or if he has to return it, in other words, Rav says that the moment he leaves the machteres, then it's damim lo, and it's also shalom yishalom. There's nothing that he did while he, as far as the imam is concerned, there's nothing that he did b'machteres that would have any impact when he leaves the machteres. Once he leaves the machteres, it's shalom yishalom. Rav on the other end says no. What he did while he was in baba machteres is already knocks off any chiyuv mama, even though now he left the machteres. Okay. Now what I'd like to do is turn back, if you will, to page Resh Mem Ches. Let's see if you can find it. Yeah, Resh Mem Ches. I hope it's on the other side. Oh,
Rishman Zion, I got.
Is that on the flip side?
Not yet.
Usually we double side it, but I guess there was some sort of a fluke. Now,
is that on?
It's blowing right on me.
Oh.
You want it on?
Yeah, you could move it a little bit to the left or to the right. So hopefully it won't disturb you.
The window's open.
The window's open all the time. Okay, whatever.
All right.
I'll move myself.
So he begins this discussion here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Just make sure that there's nothing broken there.
Okay.
With a discussion about Ula. You remember that Ula says that if there's an overlap between Mammon and Malkus, we give him Mammon and we don't give him Malkus. And the premise that underlies Ula is that Mammon is more Chomer than Malkus. Now, if you fast forward for a moment to the paragraph Ula Fimash and his buyer, which is on page Resh Mem Tes, he says the following: Onesh Malkus Chomer Biatzmuso Me Onesh Mammon. Certainly, we would agree, and that's intuitive, that the punishment of Malkus is more severe than that of Mammon. So, what is this tzad that Mammon is lechumra? The Akati Nishar Olav Din Shamayim She'enam Eskapi Bionish Mammon. Is Lekol LeMeimar De Ima Mona LeChumra Is Misvara Mishalim V'Eino Loke? He says the following: that if Mammon is more chumra because Enam Eskaper, then you cannot say the following svar. Maybe he pays the mammon and he doesn't get malchus. The otu is gure is gayer. Miloshen tzchar, meaning Tosa says that how can we possibly let him get off the hook by paying mammon? What is he? Chote niskar? I mean, we always give him the severe punishment. Tosa is operating with the assumption that mammon is certainly less chomer and malchus is certainly more chomer. So let me read it again. Lekel Meimer de Ima Mona Lechumra Misvara Mishalim V'Eino Loker. Tosis insists that even if you'll tell me that Mammon has this element of Chumra, that it's Eino Miskaper, that doesn't justify our conclusion, logically, that he should pay the Mammon and be exempt from Malkus. De Einzu Svara Klap. The Adarav Rachmana Kapich Tehelo Kapara Ala Isur. The premise always has to be that the Torah wants to guarantee a person a possibility of Kapara. Vegam Onesh Hamalkus Biatzmuso Chomer Mionesh Hamamon. In other words, this whole principle that Mamona Mishalim Vemilka Lolaki makes no sense as Tosfos. Number one, because Batzmuso, Malkus, is a more severe punishment, and we saw the Gemara in Sanhedrin established that you always give him the more severe punishment. And number two, what do you mean that the Torah is denying him a kapara, and therefore you should pay mammon? That doesn't make any sense. The Torah is always very makpid to offer a kapara. A person violates an isur, he gets a possible kapara. So for two reasons, we would assume that if the Torah wanted to choose between Malkus and Mammon, then the appropriate punishment would be Malkus. Number one, because Malkus would offer him a possibility of Kapara. Number two, because Malkus is inherently the more severe of the two punishments. So we have two rules of thumb, both of which should lead us to the conclusion that Milke Laki Mammon Lo Mishalim. So if you take a look at Shin Lamed Beis, about 6-7 lines down, he says, Iko lememar, de dilma chas rachmona le sheyitein mamon v'yiskaper. he offers a brand new solution that maybe by paying the mamon, he will get kapara. He says, "V'lo dami lahi dinisrafim dinischayev shtei misos the hasam kevin sha'avar shtei averos v'nischayev shtei misos befal." In Yaduna Bekala, Bekala, the more lenient one, Nimsa Disgure Iskar, he was letting him off easy. The Kevan Sheba Vera Hamura, Lo Chasa Le Rachmana, Laduna Bemisa Kala, Elenidon Bemisa Hamura, Lo Istaver Klau, Shem Hosef Al Chatoso Pesha, Viover Oda Vera, Shenidon Alea Bekala, Viadunu Osa Ke Ace Bekala. It doesn't make sense that he violated the first Avera, which deserves a severe punishment. Now to boot, he adds another Avera, and we're going to let him get away with the less severe punishment. Why should the second Avera replace the Onish Chamur for the Avera Chamura? Aval Hecha Sheshnei Onshim Heim Avur Avera Achas. But here in the case of Chovil B'Chavera, where he violates one Avera, and he gets two punishments, Hanidonu Eza Onish Lase, so Shapi Yeshlomer, Dehecha Deshayach Tashlumen, Hakila, Dehecha Sheshayach Tashlumen, Hikila Olava Torah, Sheishalem Velo Yil. So it comes out according to Tosfos, with this Hezber, that the Gemara is assuming, according to Ula, that Mamon is Lekula, and the reason for that is because we want to implement two Onshim for one single Avera, and that being the case, it's very possible that the Torah would be Mekil and say, well, we're only going to give you one Onish, let's give you the lesser Onish. When does the Sugya and Sanhedrin insist that we always give you the more severe punishment? That's when you violated two different Averas. And it doesn't make any sense that because you added an Avera to boot, we should now alleviate you, we should lower the Madrega of punishment. Sam, did you once tell me that I'm misusing the word alleviate? I think you told me that. Instead of alleviate, what was the word you preferred? I'm trying to remember. Do you remember this? It's like half a year ago.
My mind is not working, but I remember it, yes.
Instead of alleviate... Exempt,
exonerate,
I think.
Exonerate
or exempt, okay. But, you know, hoil the dosh dosh, you know, so it's very hard for me to... Okay, so if I ever use the word alleviate, just cross it out and write exempt or exonerate. Anyway, so when you have two punishments for two different averas, we're not going to say that the Torah is going to be makil and have compassion on you and let you get away from the... Because you did a double affair, you know, added another, you know, you added insult to injury, you know, oil to the fire, therefore we're going to let you get away with the lower punishment.
That's what we say, Kim Levi Ravine.
And Kim Levi Ravine means we have to give him the higher punishment. But in a case where he does one Avera and he gets two on Onshim, one could logically present the possibility that the Torah wanted to give him the lesser of the two punishments. In other words, we can't go beyond the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself only establishes the principle of giving him the higher punishment in a case where he did two different avirus.
And we're differentiating between bebatachat and not.
Yes, it's got to be one avira. It's got to be, everything is synchronized.
If it were to be not bebatachat, then he would have to do both.
Right. Now, Abosa, I want to ask you the following question. We said that Baba Machteres comes under the halacha of Kim Levi D'Rabbanan. But yet, Baba Machteres is not what you call a Misa HaMesura LeBezdin. There's no Chiyuv Misas Bezdin in the case of Baba Machteres. So what I'd like to study with you is the Rashba. And this you'll find on page Shin Tzadi Ches. We have that?
Not on this one.
Maybe you have an extra copy or you can look on. He says, Hiksha Maya Bob Machter's Potavitashlumen. Ha'ein bo chiv misas bezdin. im kein lekel melef mikra de kdei rishasa, because kdei rishasa is a principle, a mandate that's addressed to Bezdin. Well, Bezdin's not involved here at all in the chiyuv misa v'bav machteres. How can you tell him kdei rishasa? And here's where the Rashba comes up with his answer. Veheshiv delo mishum kdei rishasa patrinen lei. So as we said before, the Gemara establishes on Daf Lamed Zayin that there are two sources for the principle that we can't punish him and make him pay money. One is Kedei Rishoso, which means we're going to give him Malkus, and the other is Veloya Son, which means he's getting Misa, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the mom. Says the Rashba, there's a fundamental difference between the two. And an Afkamina is going to be Boba Machteris. Why? Because if we go with the principle of what? Kidei Rishoso, there's no reason to pater him up from Mamon if Bezdin is not going to be able to implement a Chiyuv Misa. So where's the Kedei Rishasa over here? Kedei Rishasa means an Onish HaMosu LeBezdin. That's not applicable in the case of Baba Machteres. Clear? When do we apply the principle of Baba Machteres? Yeah, it's only when we derive the principle of Baba Machteres from the Loya Ason Anoshi Anesh. And the Loya Ason Darshin and Afil Lechaive Misa Shogigin. Beautiful Chiddush of the Rashba. The Rashba says that we have the principle of Torah de Bechizkia, that even in the case of Chayim Misa Shogigin, we exempt him from Tashlumei Mamon, and we apply the principle of Kimleim de Ravmina. And why is that so? If he's only a Shogig, he's not Chayim Misa, we can't put him to death. The answer is it doesn't depend upon whether we can put him to death. There's a new halacha that this Aver is an Aver Sheyesh Ba Misa, or in the language of the Rashba, he says, called the Efshar Lav Ol Yidei Misa, is Patro Akasuv Mimamon. This could be a precursor of what we saw in Reb Chaim. What is Reb Chaim saying? That Misa patters you up from Mamon. Why? Because the Avera itself is the type of Avera that could generate Misa. Even though you violated the Avera before in a Shogig situation, so you're not going to be Chayav Misa, but it's enough that we analyze and categorize the Avera, it's an Avera Sheyesh Ba Misa. Hence, Chizkia derives from the Pasuk of Makeh Nefesh, Makeh Behemah Yishalmena, that Chayve Misa Shogim Peturim Tashlumin. Why? Even though he's part of from Misa, he's a Shogim, he still doesn't pay damages because the Avera that he was involved in was an Avera that Efshar Lav Ol Yidei Misa. If the conditions would be met, we would put him to death. Says the Rashba, if that be the case, then if the conditions would be met, we would put him to death, applies even to Baba Machteres. Even though we're not addressing ourselves to Bezdin, like for example, Chayim Misa Shogin, according to Tana Bechizkia, we potter him up for the moment. That's not something that Bezdin could do because he's a Shogin. If he's a Shogin, Bezdin can't do anything, can't punish him in any shape or form. And yet, according to Chizkia, we apply the principle of Ptur Mamon. Do the same principle of Ptur Mamon is going to apply in the case of Baba Machteres, even though Bezdin cannot put him to death, but there is an Efshar Lav Ol Yidei Misa. How is it Efshar Lav Ol Yidei Misa? If the Baalim decide to put it to, right, to confront him and then shoot him with a shotgun. Now he wants to raise the following question. What would you say about Baba Machteres? And at the moment he was in Machteres, he ate Chazatrif, where he wore shatnas. Would he be Chayav Malkus when he goes out of the Machteres? Let's assume there were Edom and Asro. Can you guess the answer? I mean, you have a 50% chance of guessing the right answer. The question is, would we give Malkus or not? The answer is what? Absolutely, we would give him Malkus. Why? Because in the case of Malkus, we don't have the principle of Im Lo Ya'ason Anoshi Anesh. That's limited to the case of Misa. And therefore, we only have one possible principle to operate with, and that's Kederi Shasa. Now, in this case of Bava Machteres, he violates an Iser Malkus, let's say a lot like Behemet Meir, and now he's no longer Chayav Misa because he leaves the Machteres. And not only that, even when he was in the Machteres, we would not pater him up from Malkus. Why? Because he only has this theoretical Chayav Misa, correct? It's not a case of Chayav Misa Befal, where Besson has to implement anything. It's only called the Efshal Lovely Day Misa. So if you're dealing called the Efshal Lovely Day Misa, then we can apply the principle of Imlo Yasona Noshia Nesh. And therefore, he would be Potter from Malkus. But now we're talking about Pottering him up from Malkus. In order to Potter him up from Malkus, we don't have a halacha that Misa Potters you from Malkus. We only have a halacha of Kidei Rishaso. So he's going to be Chayav Malkus, even though there is this potential Chayav Misa that's hanging over his head. But the potential Chayav Misa, as we said before, the Rashba's language called the Efshal Avodah Misa in case of Bava Machteres, that could pater him from Mamon under the principle of Ason Lo Yeh Ason Onoshi Anesh, which means that Misa is a Poteres, even in the case of Shogigin. Even in the case of Bob Machteres, where Besson is not implementing the Chiyuv Misa because it's Efshal Lovely Day Misa, and then we activate the principle of Misa Poteres. But by Medvar, that's okay as far as Mammon is concerned. But Misa doesn't pater you up from Malkus, and we don't have such a case. We only have a principle of Kidei Rishasa, but now we're talking about an Efshal Lovely Day Misa, and he's outside the Machteres, so we'll give him Malkus. So let's read it inside of Lefise. Bob Machteres v'Avar v'Shas Ma'isa Avera v'Shas Ma'isa, meaning at the time of the Bob Machteres Avera sheyeshba Malkus, Eino Niftar mi Malkus. He's not potter from Malkus. Why? Because in the case of Misa and Mammon, the Torah says that a Misa and Mammon, all we need is a Misa that could theoretically culminate in a Mises Bezdin, had certain conditions be met, or could culminate in some sort of a Misa if certain conditions are met. Now you can talk about knocking off a Chiyuv Mama because Misa Poteres, and that would apply even in the case of Shogeg, even in the case of Bav Machteres. But when we get down to Malkus, where there is no Din of Misa Poteres, it's only a Din of Kidei Rishaso, now we have to ask, is it Mesura Lechol LeBezdin? Because Kidei Rishas is all a matter of addressing Bezdin. Well, when we address Bezdin in the case of Bob Machteres, Bezdin says, we don't have a Chiyuv Misa to implement here. Bob Machteres is only a heter for the Baal Bayis. So there's no din of Onish HaMasa or Misa Mesura LeDei Bezdin. And if that be the case, they would punish him with Malkus, because they're only punishing him with one punishment and not with two. And there's no violation of the principle of Kidei Rishos. And Rabotei, this leads us to the sugya of Esei Docha Los Aser on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. So please, if you can, open up to the Gemara. Let's just go. It's a few lines in the Gemara. We've seen it more than once, but it's always kedai to see it again. And the Mishnah says that Baal Bito is Potter. Why is Baal Bito Potter? Mitnashim is Chayiv Benafsh. Now the question is, what about in the case of Ones, the mitzvah of a low seal in Isha? So that's a Mishnah on Daf Lamites on the Beis. There's no memo, I'll just give you a second. Here on Daf Lamites Amud Aleph. So there are two Mishnayos here, or I should say two parts of one Mishnah. But the last part of the Mishnah is what's most interesting for us. And the Mishnah says, Nimtza ba'av erbas damer erba dar erba o she'ein ruila lova b'Yisrael eino rashoi l'kayim. Shenem erba lo siya l'isha isha ruila lo. So let's fast forward to Daf Mem Amud Aleph. And the Gemara asks the fine question. Omer Rav Kana, Risa L'Shmaita, Kami the Rav Zvid, Minarto, Nesei, Esei, Minechei, Minitchei, Losas. And the Torah commands him, in the case of Onus, to marry her. The Lotia L'Isha. And on the other hand, the Torah says that he's not allowed to have a relationship with this woman. Motzavar of Asdor is a violation of Lo Yuchal Shalcha. And then all the Arayas and even Mamzeres is a lab of Lo Yekidesha and so forth and so on. So what do? We posit an essay against the Losas. And we apply the principle of Essay Dofa Losas. Omar Li. So he responded to me in the following way: Hey, Chaim, you know, when do we apply the principle? And they say, "I say docha lo says that that's only kigon mila bitzaras, where he's enjoined from cutting his mila because of the lav of pentishmar and so forth and so on, what we call tzitzas baheres. So now he's obligated in the midst of mila, and we apply the principle of essay docha lo. So why? Because lo efshal kiyume li essay. There's no way that he can fulfill this essay without violating the law of Ktsitsas Baheres. Aval Hoche, here in the case of Ones, I Amrlo Be'ino Mi Iso Le'Essay Klal. Correct. If she could cancel it out to veto the marriage, then there is no essay. So it's not the same kind of essay. So let's just make a quick summary of what we know up until this point. And then I want to study with you on page, what page is it? Just 1 second. Tuf Tzadi Zayin. Just 1 second, maybe I'm... Just make sure I'm on the right page. Sorry. I think it's Tuf Tzadi Zayin. Oh, let's... We have two things on the agenda. I'm sort of rushing here because the clock is ticking. We have Tuf Tzadi Zayin with a Rashba, and we have Tuf Kuf Aleph. You know what? I'm not sure which we should do first, but I'll just make an arbitrary decision, and let's go according to the Seder of the pages of the book. And we're on Tuf Tzadi Zayin. Is it possible that it's here, Tuf Tzadi Zayin?
No.
Okay. You have Tuf Tzadi Zayin?
I have it.
Yeah. No extra copies, though. Okay. Sure, we had extra copies. What's in this pile over here?
Yeah, I looked at this before.
Oh, you looked at this. All right.
Not for Tuf Tzadi Zayin. Oh, Tuf Tzadi Zayin.
Okay, let's start with Tuf Tzadi Chet. Maybe we'll get that far. I think we will get that far. All right. Now, Tosfos says the following. What was the Havamina the Gemara?
Thank you.
To apply the principle of Esei Docha Losaseh. After all, the Mishnah itself says, "Veloshia leisha, isha reuyelo," which means that if she's not reuyelo, then there's no essay. So where's the essay dochalosas? So Tosfos gives the following answer: that when the Torah excludes an isha shein reuyelo under the pasuk veloshia leisha, that's only chayve krisus. However, it would not apply to chayve lavin. And that's the Gemara's question here. In the case of Chayve Lavin, why does the Mishnah say that he doesn't marry her because she's not Ruyolo, let's say Mamzeres? Why not apply the principle of Esei Dochalosas? So you'll say Velosi Elishi Sharuyolo, that's only for Chayve Krisus. Hikshar Rajba, okay, so let's see if we're all on the same page. Tuf Tzadi Zayin and there's a paragraph on the left column that starts the Hine Arashpa. You have that?
Hine Arashpa.
Yeah. Hikshal Terutzim Hasheni Shal Tosfos. The Kushas Hagemorahi Denuki Kra Velosi Leisha Lechaimi Krisus the Lesbu Havaya. What's the fundamental difference between arayos, between isuri bia that are only alav, and isuri bia that are upgraded to the status of a chiyuv kares? The difference is whether it would be tfisas kiddushin, and that's called yesh ba'avai. So the Torah says, velo siya le'isha. Siya le'isha means a marriage relationship that the Torah would recognize. The Torah doesn't recognize a relationship between chayvei krisus like a man and his sister. That's not in the ballpark. And that's what we're deriving from Velosi Elisha. But as far as Chayvei Lavim is concerned, we can apply the principle of Esei Dochelos Asa. Diem Isa de Velosi Elisha Sheyesh Ba Havaya Ka'omar Im Kein Afilu Chayvei Esei Kigon Mitzri Va'adomi Kones Lo Leisha V'Hamina Tesei Da'akaimel and Di'ain Essay, Doche Os Essay, Hashavah B'Kol. Okay, there's only one exception, which is an Essay Shein Shavah B'Kol. But let's talk a little bit about Mitzri and Adomi. The Torah says, Dar Shlishi, etc., meaning that there's an Essay in the case of Mitzri V'Adomi, that you're not allowed to marry them until Dar Shlishi. So let's say a man would have this rape relationship with a Mitzris or an Adomis. The law is that in such a case, ein essay docha essay, which is really fascinating when you think about it. It's a little bit counterintuitive that an essay can override a los essay, but it can't override another essay. Because the Torah is going to tell you in such a case, shevi alta, so you can't put one essay against the other. Right? I mean, what does it say there in Avos, you know, machashiv mitzvah kala kivachamura. So we're going to have to say that ein essay docha essay.
Yes, he
has Dor Shlishi. Yeah, Makalashem. So from that we derive that you're not allowed to marry a woman in the first Dor, the second Dor, Mitzri Shniya, or Adomi Shmi, right? So he's saying that if the man had this onus relationship with a Mitzri or an Adomi, then we should apply the principle of Ein Esse Docha Esse.
Which way do you apply it? Both ways.
Shevi Alta, so that he doesn't do anything.
Would just be Shevi Alta.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we have any method by which we can establish which essay should override the other essay. So you basically have to just pack your bags and raise your hands.
If you would say Essay Docha,
oh, then in this case, you'd have to know which essay is Docha the essay. So we'd say the following: that if you have an essay that's now, meaning that's nischadish because of today's situation, and you have a general essay that applies to all of Klal Yisrael, then we would say that this essay that's a special obligation incumbent upon you in a singular way would be docha another essay that's general for the public. So now you have this mitzvah velosi elisha that's going to over. But again, all that is theoretical because he's holding now that ein essay docha essay. So let's go with his theoretical postulate, and we're going to have to say shevi alta. So therefore, in the case of an essay that's shavah b'kol, like Mitzri and Adomi, right, again, so let's go over there's a little mathematics here, let's get the mathematics down. We're saying now that in the Gemara's Kasha, if the Ma'anes has the Mamzeres, he would have to marry her. Why? Because lo si elisha rilo is only where there's no tfisas kiddushin, like chayvei krisus. But if it's only a chayvei lav, where there is tfisas kiddushin, is then we should apply the principle of esse docha lo sas, and velo si elisha should apply. Since it's Tfisas Kiddushin, and the Torah commands you in this mitzvah of Velosi Elisha, even though there's a violation of Alav Mamzeres, we're going to apply the principle of Esei Docha Losas. The Torah says Velosi Elisha, that's only for Isha Shein Bahavaya, and that's Chayvei Krisus. Oh. So now the question is, can somebody bother and just look up in the footnote who's asking this kasha? Is this the Rashba? Anyway, so now the kasha is, what about Mitzri and Adomi? Just a second. What's going to happen here? That a Mitzri and Adomi would say that what? That Ein Esi Doches say. So what's the kashi? I just want to figure out what his question is before I get to his teret. No, come on. That since Ein Esi Doches say, so it can come out like this. That in the Gemara's Havam, you know, if he has this relationship with a Mamzeres, then that's a lav. Then we apply Esi Docha Losasa. But if he has the same relationship with a Mitzri and a Domi, so then we'll have to suspend the principle of Esei Docha Losasa, because it's not a Losasa, it's an Esei. So what's the Kasha here? This is the Rashba, correct?
Yeah.
Here's what he's saying. That if a Losi Elisha excludes Chayvei Krisus, that means that you have this what do we call it? This pyramid, and anything lower than Chayvei Krisus on the pyramid is included in the mitzvah of a Losi Elisha. Correct?
Uh-huh.
Why? Because Losi Elisha is coming only to exclude where there's no Avaya. So let's say, for example, a Mitzri Vadomi, there is Avaya, right? Because it's only Chayvei Esa, the Torah would recognize such a marriage and be the evidence if he went ahead and married her. Now, if that be the case, since Velosi Elisha only excludes Chayvei Krisus, the less Bei Avaya, then there would be a mitzvah Velosi Elisha in the case of Mitzri Adomi. Frek the Rashba, but that violates the principle of Ein Esei Docha Esei. So the Rashba answers, the Esei de Mitzri, Kevon de Eina Esei Gomur, El Alav Abomichal Esei, Lo adif mi lav gomur de nitche b'nei esei. That's how do you classify a lav habamachal esei? If the Torah is telling you marry this girl because she's third generation, implying as a lav habamachal esei that you're not allowed to marry if she's less than a third generation, then that has the status of a lav. And therefore it lowers the status of the esei. Isn't this paradoxical? You would think that a lav habamachal esei would be somewhere in between a full-fledged lav and an essay, but it would certainly be more chomer than an essay. It's not as chomer as a full-fledged lav, but it's more chomer than an essay. He was saying no, that because it's an essay which is a lav abomichal essay, then we downgrade it to the status of an eino essay gomor. And now we're going to apply the principle of essay doche lav abomichal essay. Ubetama Dobriye Shlomo, the so din esse dochalosa who mitzad, who did tzad akium, odif al tzad shalo yevatel. So, what does esse dochalosa mean? We'd rather have you fulfill an essay in order that you shouldn't be mevatel an essay, even if it means violating a losa. The kshemakayim essay, makayim mitzvah before.
That's active rather than passive.
What's it called?
Active rather than passive. That's what
I didn't hear the middle word, I'm sorry.
Active rather than passive.
Rather than passive. So in other words, you have an active kiyum in an essay, and that's better than just a passive non-violation of a losasa. Amal im makayim al losasa, eino makayim shu mitzvah befoal, right? The observance of a losasa, as you say very well, is passive. It doesn't entail any
violation.
Right? You didn't violate the losasa. That's not a kiyum b'fa'al. By Paul means b'pu'ula b'kumase. But just that he's not being mevatel a losasa. The adif yoseh l'kayim mitzvah b'fa'al me'asher shalom v'levatel losasa. Okay. Will be high time a gufe esse doche lav abomichal esse. Why? Sharei gambo zek shemakayma esse de mitzri vadomi eino makayim mitzvah before. So you see what's unique about lav abomichal esse as opposed to a full-fledged essay, is that it's very similar to a lav, in the sense that if you avoid this contradiction, right, of marrying a mitzvah and a domi, then you don't have a kiyum mitzvah befall, you are just observing the lav b'machal essay. Masha enkek shemakayim essay delosia leisha makayim mitzvah befall. So again, there's an answer of the Rashba, but the Rashba doesn't give you the underlying reasoning. The Rashba says that lava b'machal essay is not called an essay gomur, and therefore one essay could be docha another essay, because the second essay that's going to be overridden is an essay which is b'machal lav. But again, it's counterintuitive. Why should an essay b'machal? Why should a lav b'machal essay be less chomer than an essay? And it lends itself to dechia, like in the case of mitzvah and adomi. Why not say the opposite, that a lav b'machal essay is more chomer than an essay? And if ain essay docha essay, certainly ain essay docha lav b'machal essay. So the answer is shevi altas, meaning that there are two types of fulfillments of God's mitzvah. One is a fulfillment b'kumba asay, that's called an essay, and then there's a fulfillment b'shevi altase of avoiding violating a losase. In that sense, from that perspective, lava b'machal essay fits into the category of losase, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of essay docha losas. However, on daf tzari ches, he quotes a Tosus in Masechta Yevamos, and Tosus says that a lav b'machal essay dino ke essay, the eino nidche mipnei essay. Wow! So we have now a machlokes between the Rashba and Tosus. What's the status of a lav b'machal essay? Tosus understands that it has the status of an essay, and therefore it's not pushed off, overridden by a lav, by another essay. Masha'enken, according to the Rashba, the status of a lav b'machal essay is equivalent to that of a lav, because it's all b'shevi altase, hence we're going to apply the principle of essay docha losase, even in this case of an essay, since the lav b'machal essay. Now he claims that there's machlokas rishonim on this point. So this you'll see in Tavshin Ayin Aleph. The question is, what do we do in Eishes Ach that's also Achos Ishto? Will it be Yibum? Right, so there's a, normally the Torah says in the midst of Yibum to override Eishes Ach. Like she's the wife of your brother. Well, what happens if she's at the same time Achos Ishto? She is the wife of your sister.
Your living sister.
I'm sorry. She is the sister of your wife.
And your wife is alive.
Correct. B'chayishto. So Gemara says that we need a special pasuk of Aleha, which excludes B'chaya Aleha, which excludes the case where there is a double or an overlap of Eishes Ach and Achos Ishto. Why? Salke Taitachamina, I might think, Teisei B'memotzinu Me'eishes Ach, and now it comes out that you can override two Isurim for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila. I'm sorry, the mitzvah of Yibum. If not for the pasuk of Aleph. Kosu Tosus. The Enakav on the Lilmod b'chol duchli me'eishes ach. The essay docha losa sheish bo kares, the imkain heiti dochi Allah, mi domi hasam chad isur, vahokatre isur. Hadalom afligidim bishum makum yalfinim ikalayim bitsitsis, afilu tre isur. So Tosis claims that essay docha losa will apply even if it's a violation of two different isurim. There's an overlap of two different Isurim, nevertheless we'll apply the principle of Esse Docha Losas. And as a result, Tosa says the Gemara has a havmina that she's both achos ishto and eshes achiv. There will be a mitzvah of yibum, and that's because esei docha trei isure. Okay, Ravos, I have to stop now. What I'd like you to do, for those who do have time, because tomorrow I want to start Kol HaBasar, is to take a look on page Tav Tzadi Tes. That's one more page. And that'll more or less wrap it up as far as Esei Docha Lo Sas is concerned. Okay then? All right.